beloved straw.
Okay. Good morning, Rabotai. Pleasure to be here once again. In the beginning of this week's parasha, Veschanan el Hashem, Moshe davens to Hashem, Ebrono ve'eres oretz ha'toiva, begs Hashem, please let me come into Eretz Yisrael and lead Klal Yisrael there and be there in Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash in the end of Devarim, the end of Parshas Vezeis HaBrocha, which describes Moshe Rabbeinu's death, he brings down some of the tefillahs. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu had many tefillahs to Hashem asking to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Medrash brings down some of the tefillahs which Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, some of the different things that Moshe asked Hashem. And it's some interesting things Moshe asked. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Oma Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the world, if you're not going to bring me into Eretz Yisrael, at least make me as a chayes hasod, at least make me into an animal that they eat and they drink and they can look around, they can see the world. At least let me live in this world as an animal. Let me be like an animal. And the Rabbeinu Shalom says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ravloch. Don't ask for anything else. So Moshe Rabbeinu said back to Hashem, if you're not going to make me into an animal, let me live in this world like a bird. It can fly to all different parts of the world. Every day it can collect its food. At the end of the day it goes back to its nest. Let me, my soul be like a bird. Again Hashem said back to him, you're not getting that either. And then, Kevin Sharon, Moshe Rabbeinu already saw that he's not going to be able to save himself, and he gave in, and he stopped davening to Hashem. So we see Moshe Rabbeinu, he davened before he died, that he should be like a bird, he should be like an animal, as long as he doesn't die. The question is, what was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to achieve with that? Bishlem, if he's a person, he can do mitzvahs, he can live, he can be a leader, perhaps that, but to be an animal, what was Moshe Rabbeinu seeking? Befrat, especially since Moshe Rabbeinu is obviously going to get a tremendous reward in Olam Haba. Why does he want to live in this world like an animal or like a bird? There's a well-known medrash in Parashat Shemos that when Pare came to destroy Klal Yisrael, he had three advisors. Three advisors were Bilam, Eoiv, and Yisroi. And Pare brought them in, he said, what are we going to do with the Jewish problem? And they all gave their advice. Yisroi, who was a tzaddik, he ran away. Didn't give his advice. He ran away. He realized what Pari wanted to do. He can't answer anything to Pari. He just ran away. And he got rewarded. Moshe Rabbeinu was his son-in-law. Klal Yisrael accepted him. Then you have Bilam, who told Pari, Hovan Ishak Molei, he told Pari exactly how to annihilate the Yidden. And he got his punishment, that he was killed by Klal Yisrael. And then Eoiv was there, he just stayed quiet. Didn't want to say anything, he knew Pari wouldn't listen to him, he didn't say anything good, but he didn't say anything bad either, he just stayed quiet.
But Eoiv was different from Yisroel in that case.
Yisroel ran away. So Yisroel ran away, but Eoiv stayed quiet. Eoiv was punished because he stayed quiet, because he didn't shout out, he didn't say anything, he didn't run away. He was punished with Yisroel Eoiv. Tremendous pains which Eoiv had until the end of his life. And Bilam was punished that Klal Yisrael killed him. And the question of Chaim Shmulevitz asks is, it would seem that Bilam got better off than Yisroel, was better off than Eoiv. Eoiv, tremendous suffering, right? Eventually died, but tremendous suffering until he died. So he was suffering in this world, whereas Bilam got killed from one minute to the next. Klal Yisrael killed him, Al-Khalalim, chopped his head off. He got much better, it would seem that he got much better off than Eoiv. If so, why should that be? Eoiv didn't say anything. Bilam, he told Pari to destroy Klal Yisrael. Why was he better off? The Pasuk in Eicha says, "Ma'yisoinein adam chai geval chato'ov." A person should not complain about his life. Ma'yisoinein adam chai. A person who's alive is not supposed to complain. Says Reb Chaim Shulevitz, a life, however difficult it is, but a person's got life. He can breathe. He can mekayim some mitzvahs. That is better off than a person who's dead. And a person who's got the gift of life is much more rewarded than a person who dies. Eoiv, even though he was killed, even though he had tremendous suffering, but he was better off, the fact that he could still come closer to Hashem, he could still be Mekayim Mitzvahs, he was better off than Bilam, who got killed straight away. It says in Parshas Vayeshev, I think, when Yaakov came in front of Paray, Yaakov was brought in front of Paray by Yosef, and Paray says to Yaakov Avinu, "Kamo yemei shnei chayecha? How old are you?" And Yaakov goes along and tells Paray he's 130, and he describes how he's had quite a bitter life. Ma'at v'royim hoyu yemei shnei chayei. I've had small and bitter. The years of my life have been short and bitter. He's had the tzoros of Yosef being taken captive. His dinar was taken by Esav. So many different trials I've had in my life. Ma'at v'royim hoyu yemei shnei chayei. I've had a bitter life. Obviously, we can't judge Yaakov Avinu. But the Medrash and the Baal HaTos brings down this Medrash say that because Yaakov complained to Paroi, and he said, Ma'at v'royim hoyu yemei shnei chayei, because he complained, he lost 33 years of his life. Right? Yaakov should have lived till 180, and he was nifted at the age of 147. Lost 33 years of his life, of his special life. And why dafka the number 33? So as the Medrash, every word of complaint which he said to Paroi, another year of his life was deducted. That's the power of words, right? Every year, every word of his complaint was another year was deducted from his life. And we look in the Pesukim there, there's 33 words. Ask for Chaim Shalevitz, but what's going on here? The 33 words don't start with Yaakov talking, it starts with Paroi talking. Paroi asked Yosef, Paroi asked Yaakov, Kama yemei shnei chayecha, how old are you? Yaakov answers back, he's 130 and he's had a difficult life. Why should Yaakov be punished for the words of Paroi? So he answers with, if you look back in that Baal HaTosis, Baal HaTosis says, that why did Paroi come along to Yaakov and ask how old he is? Well, a personal question. Why was he asking Yaakov, how old are you? Says the Baal HaTosis, because Paroi looked at Yaakov, he gave a look at Yaakov, and he saw some white hairs, and he saw an old man, and he saw a man who looks like he's had a hard and difficult life. And therefore he asked, you know, how's your life been? What's with you? How old are you? Because Yaakov didn't accept his trials, and he didn't appreciate the good life that he did have. He was looking at, he focused on the, we can't say this, but he's obviously focused a bit too much on the trials which he had. Therefore, it made him look old. And Paroi wanted to know, why are you looking like that? Says Reb Chaim Shalevitz, it's the same thing. But person's got life. Yaakov Avinu, with his life which he had, the tremendous things he accomplished, and the closeness he had to Hashem, he shouldn't have felt, and he shouldn't have taken it to heart so much, all the trials and sorrows which he went through. And therefore he was punished, even for the words, when Paroi asked him, how old are you? The Reb Chaim Shalevitz brings that just before the Vilna Gaon died, a few minutes before he was nifter, he held onto his tzitzis. Held onto his tzitzis and he cried. And he said to the people around him, look, with a few prutas, a few pennies, I can buy myself in this world a special mitzvah of tzitzis. But in a few minutes time I'm going to be in the Olam HaEmes, that's it. However much I've got there, I cannot be mekayim any more mitzvahs. So in this world, a person's got an opportunity, however small the mitzvah might be, but he's got the opportunity to do a mitzvah, he's better off than a person who's already in the Olam HaEmes. Moshe Rabbeinu, come back to our question, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, he asked Hashem, let me live like an animal in this world, or let me live like a bird flying around the world, why should I have to die? The question was, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to live like an animal? The answer, says Reb Chaim Shalevitz, is the same thing. Even an animal can bring Kvod Shemayim into this world. We look through Perek Shira. Some people say every day. Perek Shira, it says that all the different praises that the animals give to the Ribbono Shel Olam and all the different things we can learn from them in our Avodas Hashem. So even an animal, even a bird, can be marbe kvod shemayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole tachlis was to be marbe kvod shemayim. Therefore, let me live in this world a few more years. Even as an animal, I can be mekayim so much more kvod shemayim rather than die and get my tremendous reward in Olam Haba. They bring down the story of the Maril Diskin. He had a relative, an old lady, an almona, who was very ill, very poor, and he went to visit her once to see how she's doing, and he came into the flat with his gaboim, with his people who accompanied him, and he could already, before he came into the flat, he could smell already a tremendous, terrible smell coming out of the flat, and he came inside, they could see the place was a dump, things flying all over the place, there was dirt on the walls, dirt on the floors, it was a tremendous mess and a smell. And he said to his gabon, we can't learn anything here, we can't speak any divrei Torah here because of the terrible smell coming from this flat. And as he's about to leave, Reb Chaim asked, the Maril Diskin asked how she's doing, and stayed there for a few minutes. They're about to leave, the almona asked the Maril Diskin to give her a brocha. And he asked, what brocha do you want? He said, I want a brocha for arichas yomim. I should have a long life. And all the Gaboim are looking at you, a long life. Well, what do you want such a life for? You're suffering you're going through, the smell here and the pain you're going through. What do you want? You know, they didn't say it, but you could see the expression on their face. Why do you want to carry on living in this mess? And she said, you might be wondering why I want Arichas Yomim, but you should know every 2 weeks I have a cleaner, someone pays for a cleaner to come and clean up my flat and clean up my apartment. And for a few hours after the cleaner's been here, my flat is clean and I'm able to say a brocha. I can say as many brochas as I want for a few hours until it gets dirty again. I'm able to say a few brochas and it's worth it for me to live in order that I can say those few brochas, even though it's only every 2 weeks, even though I go through tremendous pain the rest of the time, but at least I can say those brochas every 2 weeks. Therefore, I want a brocha of Arichas Yom. We see again the hakara she had, the realization she had of what we can accomplish in just a few minutes of life. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted as well. It says by Yonah Hanavi, when the people on the ship realized that it was him who was causing this storm, so they said, we're going to have to throw you overboard. We can't keep you on the boat anymore. And it says, Yonah said to them, So'uni, pick me up, v'hetiluni layom, and throw me into the water. And the Mefarshim asked, why did he ask them to pick him up? Why didn't he just, he realized he's going to be thrown in, why didn't he just take a jump into the water? Why did he ask them to pick him up and throw him overboard? So the Mefarshim, the same thing. He wanted to achieve just a few more seconds of life. So you know, if they pick him up and throw him into the water, it's going to take him a few minutes. Who's going to do the job? Who's going to pick him up? How are they going to pick him up? A few more seconds of a few more extra seconds of life, he can accomplish more Kvod Shamayim. That's what he asked them. That's what he asked them for. I saw the Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein in one of his forums. He asked a question. It says that the famous story of the Avrom Ger Tzedek, who was killed in the time of the Vilna Gaon because he converted to Yiddishkeit, and before they killed him, they took this Ger Tzedek through all the streets of Vilna. They wanted to teach a lesson to everyone, not to do what this Ger Tzedek had done. And they're taking him through the streets, and all the Yidden are hiding in their houses. They blocked their windows. They knew there's going to be, you know, there might be trouble here. And they're walking him through the streets. The streets are empty. And they came past one window where the person opened the window to speak to this Avrom Ger Tzedek. And they came out, that was the house of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon opened his window, and he said to the Avrom Ger Tzedek, he said, hurry up! Get going. Run to your death. So Yitzchak Zilberstein asked, why was he telling him to hurry up? He can get a few more minutes of life, as we said before, a few more minutes of life. Why is he telling him to hurry up and kill himself? So says Yitzchak Zilberstein, on the other hand, we've got the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. He had the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem of the Vilna Gaon. He told him even to make a brocha on being killed. He had this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Therefore, that overrided this inyan of every second of life. Therefore, he told him to hurry up. Later on in the parasha, we have the Aveira of Lois Say Sifu Al Hadova Shanoich Mitzava Eskam Veloy Sigru Mimen. We're not allowed to add or detract from any mitzvah which the Torah gives. Got to do the mitzvahs as they're given. We shall not add onto any mitzvahs. And then the pasuk carries on. You should look at what Klal Yisrael suffered by Baal Po'ei. All the people that went after Baal Po'ei were destroyed by Hashem. So Mefarshim asks, what's the connection between the two things? What's the connection between the mitzvah of not adding or subtracting onto any mitzvahs and the Aveira which Klal Yisrael did of Baal Po'ei? What's the connection? So I want to say two pshatim today. One is the well-known pshat of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that when Klal Yisrael came to serve the Avodah Zarah of Baal Po'ei, there were amongst the Yidden some people who thought, we're not going to serve Baal Po'ei. We're going to do the opposite. We're going to disgrace Baal Po'ei. We're going to make fun of him. And some people came along and instead of serving the Avodah Zarah, they disgraced the Avodah Zarah. Threw things at it, did other dirty things in front of it. Says the Vilna Gaon, but they've done Navir as well. Because the mitzvah of Baal Po'ei, the Avodah Zarah of Baal Po'ei is to disgrace it. So even though they had good intentions, but they've done the Avodah Zarah of Baal Po'ei. Like the Gemara says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it speaks about the different Avodah Zarahs, it says there was an Amora called Reb Menashe who came to the Avodah Zarah of Makulis. And the Avodah Zarah of Makulis was to throw stones at it. And someone told him, this is Makulis here. This is Avodah Zarah Makulis. He said, let me get off my horse. He got off his horse, and he said, let's throw stones at Makulis. Let's disgrace it. And he started throwing the stones at Makulis. And then people said to him, what are you doing? That's a way of serving the Avodah Zarah. You're serving the Avodah Zarah. He said, no, but I'm not doing it to serve the Avodah Zarah. I'm doing it to disgrace the Avodah Zarah. He said, no. So he came to Ben, and Ben said, no. The Avodah Zarah is to throw stones at it. Even if you're doing it to disgrace it, you're still served the Avodah Zarah. Says the Vilna Gaon, these people who came to the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir, and they thought they're going to disgrace it, really they've done bad. And therefore the Torah says, Lo yisay sifu al adov asher neichem mitzavah eschem. Don't think you're going to be good by adding on mitzvahs and disgracing the Avodah Zarah by disgracing the Avodah Zarah. You're not doing any good. You're adding on to the Torah, even though you've got good intentions, but that itself is serving the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir. That's why it says, Lo yisay sifu al adov lishmoy es mitzvah eschem. Even a person who thinks he's doing it lishmoy es mitzvah eschem to keep the Torah in order to do good, he's not. And it says, Ki cholo ish asher holach achnei baal poi. Every single person, even those that had good intentions, hishmidei Hashem lekach mekubacha, even those people will be destroyed. So we see how a person has to keep to what the Torah says, by adding on, can cause a person to do bad things. It's not doing any good by doing that. Shimshon Pinkas says another explanation. He says, we see in the Gemara, the same Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Dalet, how the whole inyan of the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir was making a disgrace for it. Disgracing as much as one can. The Gemara brings there a story of a fellow called Safta ben Iling. He came to the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir, and he went inside and he did his business there. And before he left, he used the nose of the Avodah Zarah in order to clean himself. Right? He thought he'd do some shtick. He used the nose of the Avodah Zarah to clean himself. And the Kohenim, the priest of the Avodah Zarah, said to him, wow, no one ever has served the Avodah Zarah in such a special way. And they all praise him. You know, this is the Spitz way of serving the Avodah Zarah. So we see that the whole in and of this Avodah Zarah is disgrace. Make a disgrace of yourself right in front of the Avodah Zarah. What's this in and? What's this in and of making a disgrace? What was the in and of this Avodah Zarah? Says of Shimshon Pinkas, is to show, they wanted to teach a person that we don't have to be trapped by any boundaries. Don't have to be trapped by any restrictions. We can live a life however we want, do whatever we do, whenever we want, in front of whoever we want. We don't have to worry about any boundaries, any restrictions at all. That was the inyan of this Avodah Zarah. And therefore they did whatever they could, any way of disgracing oneself in front of the Avodah Zarah, the more the merrier and the better. That's the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir. Says the Vilna Gaon, you have a yid, he's mekabel the Torah, he's going to keep the Torah, but he doesn't want the full restrictions of the Torah. Sometimes it's not easy for me. Like cigarette, I'll miss out that mitzvah. It doesn't quite fit in. Or like Yosef, you know, this mitzvah is very geschmack. We'll do it. We'll do extra things as well for this mitzvah. I'll keep the Torah, but I'll keep it in my way. I don't want the restrictions of the Torah. It's geschmack, but I don't want the restrictions of the Torah. Such a person is comparable to the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir. He doesn't want restrictions. It might not be quite as, but it might not have reached that level. But eventually he'll reach that level. You see the reform, how far they've gone now, right? In the beginning they just threw off a few mitzvahs. They see how far they've gone now. They're even encouraging mixed marriages, right? They've gone so far because once this person starts to throw off a few restrictions, they'll keep the Torah, but only in the geshmak way, then eventually everything goes. That's like the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ir. And he brings the story the Gemara says of this lady who was very ill, and she made a Kabbalah that when she recovers from her illness, she's going to serve every single Avodah Zarah Shabbat Olam. Every single Avodah Zarah in the world, she's going to go along and serve. And she went, Shitaka became better, and she started going to all different Avodah Zarahs. And eventually, she ended up by Pa'ir, and she came to the priest of Avodah Zarah Baal Pa'ir, and she asked him, how do we serve this Avodah Zarah? And they told her exactly what she has to do. In front, be mevazel the Avodah Zarah, just disgrace yourself in front of the Avodah Zarah. And she said to them, if that's the way of serving this Avodah Zarah, I prefer to go back to my illness and die. So I asked Shimshon, what was, you know, she made this Kabbalah.
Was she Israeli?
It doesn't say. I imagine she was a guy. But I asked Shimshon, you know, so it's a terrible thing to serve the Avodah Zarah, but why go back to her death? Why go back to death? Why die? She's served all the other Avodah Zarahs in the world. Disgrace yourself a bit and go in front of this Avodah Zarah. What was so bad? Why did she prefer to die? And he says that every single person needs a certain amount of dignity and self-respect. Every single person, without that person would prefer to die. In fact, he says the neshama is called kvoidi, kvoid, So we say Ura Kavodi Ura, and Kavodi is referring to the Neshama. The Neshama itself is called Kavod. The Neshama itself demands that self-respect. If a person doesn't have that self-respect, he's like an animal, he'd prefer to die. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, their plan was to make the Yidden like animals. They disgrace them as much as they could, and many Yidden didn't want to. And they preferred to die rather than fall into this Nazi trap of becoming like animals, behaving like animals, totally losing their self-dignity. That's why this lady, when she saw how the Avodah Zarah was totally against one's self-dignity and to do what one wants and disgrace oneself to every extent, she realized that that's death. And I prefer to die a physical death than to die that sort of death. That's why she preferred to die. In the end of the parasha, we have Shema Yisrael, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. We all know the first mitzvah, the first Mishnah in Shas, the first Mishnah in Brachas, says, Me'emosai Keirin Shema Ba'aris. From when do we read Kriya Shema by night? Mishosha Kehanim Nichnosim Lecho B'Trumosim. From the time that the Kehanim come to eat the Truma. The Mishnah is referring to the Kehanim who were Tomei. They become Tomei, the Zovim or Metzirayim, wherever the Truma was. And they've come to do their purification process. Even though they've not brought their korban yet, right? So they're not 100% to reach their tara level, but still they're allowed to eat truma, and they have to wait till nacht before they can eat truma. They have to wait till harav shemesh, till it's dark, and then they can eat their truma. So from when the time the kohanim are tameim, from that time when they can eat their truma, that's when we say the parasha of Kriya Shema. Asa Be'er Yosef, what's the connection between the two? Why didn't the Mishnah just say when do you read Kriya Shema by night? From nacht. Why does the Mishnah have to use the time that the Kehanim come to eat their Truma, the Kehanim of Atameim? Why does the Mishnah have to use that to show us when they can eat, when we should start saying Shema? So says the Be'er Yosef, he brings a Tzlach. The Tzlach asks another kasha on this Mishnah. How is it that the Kehanim are allowed to start eating Truma as soon as it becomes night? Right, it's the time of Kriya Shema. They should say Kriya Shema first. It should be a few minutes later. They should say Kriya Shema. They should daven Maariv first. We all know Zalocha. Person can't do other things before he said Kriya Shema. Why are the Kehanim allowed to go along and eat their Truma straight away as soon as it's night? Why should they not have to wait until they've davened? Answers a Tzlach that the mitzvah of eating Truma is Choshel Mitzvah. He says, in fact, the Gemara says that the mitzvah of eating Truma is like Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, even though they've got a mitzvah of reading Shema, of saying Shema, and of davening Maariv, but the mitzvah of eating Truma, even though it's a mitzvah Gashmi, the mitzvah of eating Truma is enough to push off the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and therefore they can eat their Truma first, and then they can go along and daven Maariv and say Shema. That's what the Tzlach answers. No, they can only same time. But it's just as choshev as the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and therefore they're allowed to eat their truma straight away when it's nacht. It's also choshev. It's as choshev, and therefore they're allowed to eat their truma first. So says the Be'er Yosef. So we've got a few people here. We've got all the chevra, all the Israelim, Levim. They come to shul to say Shema and to daven Maariv. And in the Beis Hamikdash, or in the houses in Yerushalayim, you've got the Kehanim eating their Truma at the same time. I'll say they're davening Shema, davening Maariv. We have to say Shema Be'eima, Be'yira, Vazir, with such trembling. They're davening Shema, and the Kehanim are busy eating their Truma, having a geshmak, a meal, nice wine, fancy wine, delicious bread, whatever it is. They're eating their Truma at the same time as everyone else has to come to shul to daven. Is that fair? Why should they have a geshmak, a meal, whilst I'm busy eating my, people might think, you know, what's going on here? Why do I have to come to shul and daven? And these kohanim are having a geshmak meal, geshmak suda of their truma. So what's a person going to think? Going to think to himself, no. Even though I'm here davening and saying shema, but the kohanim, they might be enjoying themselves, but they're doing a mitzvah which is just as choshev. They're eating truma, which is like the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They're doing a mitzvah as well, which is just as choshev, maybe even more choshev than my mitzvah of saying Shema. And therefore, they can wait till later to say Shema. So this fellow is, at the same time, he's thinking to himself of the chashivas of the mitzvah of eating truma. The Kohen as well will think like that. The Kohen will think to himself, I'm busy eating, having a geshmak meal here, but since I'm doing a mitzvah, it's like I'm saying Shema. It's like avoiding the Beis HaMikdash. It's a tremendous mitzvah which I'm doing. You might be getting geshmak out of the mitzvah, but if he's got the right intentions, he'll realize he's doing a mitzvah which is just as choshev as a person saying Shema, it's just as choshev as the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So we can see from here the reward and how choshev a mitzvah is, and even if it's a mitzvah gashmi, you know, a person eating a Shabbos meal, a Yom Tov meal, his matzah, whatever it might be, and any mitzvah, even if it's a gashmistic mitzvah, if he's got the right intentions, it can be as choshev as a person who's saying Kriyas Shema be'ema be'yiro v'zeo. He's got the same chashivas to his mitzvah. So if we have the right intentions when we do our mitzvahs, then they can have we can get the same schar as a person who's saying Shema. We can learn the other way as well, says the Beis. We can learn from till now we've said that a person who's having hano, a person who's eating truma, he's on the same level as a person said Shema. So we're learning truma out from Shema. We're learning Shema to truma. Beis says we can learn the other way around as well. We can learn from truma to Shema, to the way we should read Shema. The Rashi at the beginning of Parashat Shema says, "Asher onoichi mitzavcha hayoyim." Right? We should keep the mitzvahs which Hashem has commanded us hayoyim today. What's hayoyim? Says Rashi, something which comes today is fresh. Someone got something today, it's still fresh, it's still new to him. The Torah should not be to us, the mitzvahs in the Torah should not be like some old commandment or some old decree, which people don't give any chashivas to. Hell or no. It should be like a new decree which people are excited to receive. Right? So a person reads Shema, even though we're mekayim this mitzvah twice every single day of our lives, but a person shouldn't look at it as some old mitzvah which we just do because we have to do it. But every day, we should be as if we received it today. It's something new. Something we received today, it should be, that's how we should read the parasha of Shema, like a new decree. So these people who are tameim, he said. They come to the kohanim who are tameim. They come to eat their truma. Right? And it could be they eat truma every day of their lives. But for the last few days, they've not been able to eat truma. And not only have they not been able to eat truma, but it's been a very uncomfortable time for them. Right? If it was a metzora, he'd be sent out from all three machnos, bod odyeshe mechus lamachne, totally on his own, in solitary confinement, we'd call it. He's totally on his own for the last few days. If it be a zov, even though he's allowed into the machne, but everyone will keep their distance from him. Right? Because if anyone comes close to him, if they touch something which he sat on, or they touch his bed, they're going to become tameh as well. So everyone's keeping their distance from these people who are tameh. It's a very uncomfortable situation to be tameh. And now, after it's come to now, they've had the hair of Shemesh, all they've got to do left is their korban. Now they're able to come back into the camp. They're back in. And therefore, they're going to have tremendous excitement coming back in, and to eat their truma. They've not been able to eat truma till now, and the reason was because they've got to be away from everyone. Now they're toherim, they're able to come back into the machne, to be back in, together with everyone else. They're going to come to the mitzvah of truma, of eating truma, with a new zest, with a new geschmack. We can eat truma, we're like everyone else now. We're back into the fold. And they'll have much more excitement when they come to eat their truma after they've been tameim. Says Abba Yosef, we can learn from truma to Shema. A person who eats Shema, the same mitzvah which I did this morning, the same mitzvah which I did yesterday, the same mitzvah I'm going to do tomorrow. But no, he's got to look at it. Look at those kohanim. Those kohanim, they're coming back to eat their truma and there's such excitement. That's how I've got to say Shema. Even though I'm doing it every day, twice a day, I've got to do it with the same excitement as those kohanim ate their truma. We see the same thing. That's a connection. That's the connection between Shema and Truma. We can learn from Truma to Shema how we should say Shema. It should be a new mitzvah every day, and we should do it with that excitement, with that enthusiasm. It says when Aaron HaKohen came to light the menorah, it says, Vayas Kain Aaron. Aaron lit the menorah, and we all know the famous pshat. Rashi says, Melamed Shelo Shina. Aaron HaKohen, he did it. He didn't change. He didn't do anything different to what Hashem said. And asked the Mefarshim, what's going on? Obviously, he wouldn't change. There's a famous pshat, Melamed Shelo Shina, even though he did this mitzvah every single day, day in, day out, for 40 years. But it was the same excitement as if he'd done it the first time, as if he was doing it for the first time. That's how we've got to learn Shema every single day. Just finished off with a story. When I was in the Budapest Kotel, going back about 12 years, we had a program where students would come in to learn with Kotel Avreichim. Many came in, we used to give them a little stipend to come and learn with us, and many of them came closer to Avodas Hashem through that way. And there was one very enthusiastic boy called Cornell. he came in every day with his chavrusa, and his chavrusa was learning with him hilchas brachas. And they're learning the halachas of making the bracha of Shechiyonu. Right? Different things, we make Shechiyonu, new clothes, new car, whatever it might be, discussing the halachas of Birchas Shechiyonu. And one day, the next day he came into Kodol, and he was wearing a new pair of glasses. Right? He'd saved up, they're very poor, the people there, he'd saved up a lot of money, and he managed to buy himself a brand new pair of glasses. And he was very excited, and everyone was taking to Tchadish and, giving him his brachas for his new pair of glasses. And he straight away came to his chavrus and he said, do I make a shechiyonu on my new glasses or not? And of course, all the kelav reichim were tumbling, it was only a pair of glasses and not such excitement, discussing, should he make a shechiyonu or not? And eventually the shayla came to the Rosh Kodesh, it was Rabbi Yaakov Schatz, who'd come from Amsterdam, he was living in Budapest with us. And they asked him, the shayla, should he make a shechiyonu on the glasses or not? So he said, bring him here. And he said to him, do you have an excitement with this new pair of glasses? He said, of course. I've saved up for a long time for these glasses. He said, to make a shechiyonu. So this boy, this Cornell, he didn't just say shechiyonu. He went to the Aron HaKodesh, buried his head inside the Pareichas for a few minutes, making his shechiyonu. Right? Of course, we're all standing there, struck by his excitement of making this shechiyonu. And the Rosh Kodesh said, I'm telling you, if a Pesach Krom would be here, he'd make a whole story out of this. So we think to ourselves, when we make the bracha of Shechiyonu, we do have some excitement, right? We've got ourselves a new suit, it might be a new car, whatever it is, we do have excitement in making the Shechiyonu. But we don't go to the Aron HaKodesh, we don't have the same enthusiasm as this boy, because we do it many times. Every year we make this bracha, every Yom Tov we make this bracha, every time we get something new, we make this bracha of Shechiyonu. So we don't quite have the same enthusiasm. But if we think the first time, imagine this was the first time I'm making the bracha of Shechiyonu, we might do it with the same enthusiasm, the first time doing a mitzvah. And that's how we've got to do every mitzvah which we do. And in the parashah of Shema, Shanechi mitzvah v'chayoyim, every mitzvah which we do, we should look at it as if it's the first time that we're doing that mitzvah. And then we'll come through with so much more enthusiasm. So just to sum up, we spoke about how Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live even as an animal, even as a bird. And we said the inyan is that just a few minutes of life, even with suffering, or even as an animal, we saw by Eif, his life was much, his reward, his punishment was not quite as strict as Bilam. Because a few minutes of life, even with suffering, is more precious than a person dying. And then we said the connection between the mitzvah of Lo Yisifu and Lo Yisigru, not adding on to the mitzvahs, to the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or, is either that person was who wanted to disgrace the Avodah Zarah, he could be doing an Avera by disgracing the Avodah Zarah because he's serving the Avodah Zarah. Or we said the connection is that the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or is not to have any restrictions. And that's in and of Lo Yisifu. A person shouldn't accept the Torah without the restrictions. He's got to realize that the Torah with its restrictions is the best thing for a person. That gives a person self-respect. The connection between Shema and the Kohanim eating Truma is to teach us that even a mitzvah gashmi, even eating truma or any mitzvah which we do, when there's achila, when there's benefit involved, if we have the right intentions, it can be, have the same chashivas as a person reading Shema, and the same, a person doing the avodah, whatever it might be, it's got the same chashivas if we have the right intentions. And it's also to teach us that just like the kohanim, when they ate their truma for after they were tomei, that to come with this excitement, so too when we say the parash of Shema or any mitzvah which we do day in, day out, it should be with the same excitement as the first time.